and welcome to the April episode of Enhanced Parts Disney Edition. I'm Nick, and on this episode we are joined by Craig.
Yes, you are.
We're joined by P-Dubs.
Hello and good evening.
Or good morning. We don't know when people
listen. Or good morning, yes.
Yeah. No. And we are also joined, of course, by Mr. D.
Hello and good, whatever it is, whatever you are.
Yeah, that's the right attitude. That's it.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Oh, I love konnichiwa. What a great phrase. Should have used that in The Lion King instead. Anyone, before we crack on with the episode, anyone make any major announcements recently or anything? Upset people?
No.
That's good. Glad to hear that. All good. Yes, we are here to talk about an attraction. And I think in the end, I came up with this because we got some suggestions in the Patreon chat, but there are ones we've done before or completely different park. So I opted for, I think, quite a strange one, really. Philharmagic, which, of course, is found in Fantasyland. Is it New Fantasyland still, or have they dropped the new bit?
I don't think it's new, is it? I think it's just Fantasyland on maps.
Yeah, wasn't the new just the new bit? I can't remember.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not.
Well, it was a Fantasyland expansion, wasn't it? But
yeah, the problem is, it's that usual thing of they refer to it as one thing, and then don't really commit to it. Because you're right, Craig. It was an expansion. It was just, you know, a new second.
I think
bit
Philomagic
of Dumbo
was in the old bit anyway.
It was old
Fantasyland.
Yeah,
but they don't call stuff new anyway, do they? Because in the future it is new then. So
it's not good
people just called it new.
It's not good historically, is it? Because didn't they do that with Tomorrowland in Disneyland?
Yeah, it was Tomorrowland 1980.
Right. Yeah. Not good. Not good.
Yesterdayland.
Well. That's essentially what it was. but look, before we get into the attraction, a bit more about the detail and what we would do to enhance it, of course, I should be asking what everybody is drinking. So, Craig, what are you drinking?
Well, since it's a historic night and, you know, we're saying goodbye to one of our fallen soldiers, I thought it only fitting that I would create a cocktail to honour this.
Oh,
and every year on this date, the Patreons or whoever can raise a glass to your memory. So I've created a banana gin and tonic.
So hang on,
is that like a gin and tonic with a banana in it?
Yeah, it's a banana.
Okay,
this is a bit like,
because you like King Kong and all that, don't you? So
I do love
get a giant monkey at short notice.
Well, I mean,
you could have just dressed like one.
Honest to God, like what a waste. Costume.
To be honest, if I sat here naked, I'd look like a silverback. But
See, the truth is out at last, because all Craig ever does is tell people how hairy I am. When
you
in
are
reality,
a hairy little man.
I'm a hairy little man. You're a hairy big man. What's your point? One looks more like a gorilla. I look more like a chimpanzee.
Yeah. Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Podcast coming soon.
That's it. That's what I'm leaving today. I don't really understand the reference itself, but I've heard of it. But isn't it a little bit like Doctor Who eating fish fingers and custard? A banana and a gin and tonic.
Yeah, but I had an orange in something the other week.
Yes.
Not my arse.
Yeah. Again.
It was a clementine.
Yeah, it slipped out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what she said.
Have we had this discussion before? Like, to me, like, fruit-infused beverages, full stop, they don't work if you just stick a fruit in there. You've got to actually, like, open the fruit.
It was open. I've just ate the banana. It was I stirred my gin and tonic with the banana, so there's essence of banana.
You should have drilled a hole in with like a metal straw or something, or a skewer, and then used the banana as a massive straw.
Do you want me to go and get another banana and try?
No, oh God, no, that's a waste of banana. Like,
I'll just eat it if it doesn't work.
It's just, do you really want to eat two bananas? You're going to be up all night.
Johnny, two bananas.
Double-fisted nice bananas.
That's just what Kong would have wanted.
One in the pink, one in the stink.
Oh, God. What normal drink are you drinking, P-Dubs?
Dog shit saying, in a glass.
I was just saying before we started the episode, I am wrapped up in a blanket like a big baby because I'm fucking freezing. So I've got a bottle
of warm milk.
A biscuit brew.
Fucking hell.
Oh, man.
I mean, what country are you in? Are you in Finland or what?
Look, I will defend P-Dubs a little bit here, because obviously I'm a little bit further north than Mr. D's, but I'm not as far north as P-Dubs or Craig are. And I had to go out after work tonight to get some food for dinner, and it was miserable, it was wet, it was windy, it was cold.
Yeah. It was lashing down.
Yeah, horrible. Really horrible rain.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so was it sunny climes where you are, Mr. D, or something?
No, it's not actually. It's
pissing the water getting in your socks.
It's not cold. I mean, it was actually quite nice earlier on.
I haven't got my dressing gown on now. I've just got my jammies on.
I don't want that mental image. You with no dressing gown and there's a banana handy. What could go wrong?
Yes, I slipped, exactly. Doctor. I slipped.
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
Not again, Mr. Lucas.
Please tell me you haven't got something sticking out of your glass.
No, I have a wise bud. There we go.
Very good.
Oh, dilly. King of beers. All the American homo haters have all just turned off, boss.
Yeah.
What?
All right, look, let's look at Phil and Matt. Look, I'm drinking cherry Pepsi and Maxi, no one cares. Let's talk about Philomagic. So it opened on the 8th of October 2003. Can anyone remember what it replaced?
Yes.
What did it replace, Mr. D?
Go on.
It was, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was a Lion King puppet show.
Correct. It was actually called The Legend of Lion King. Legend of the Lion King.
Okay. All right. The Legend of Lion King, Festival of the Lion King, something of the Lion King.
Yeah.
There you go. I remember that show.
Now, the interesting thing about this, looking into it, is so that opened in 1994. Hmm. That's really interesting because, I mean, The Lion King, when did The Lion King come out? I thought that came out in 1994.
Oh, no. 93, no, I'm sure.
Before that, wasn't it?
It's in 93?
Because we used to get it from the video shop for Adam.
When did it come out? Hang on, release date. No, June 15th, 1994.
Okay. Well, to be honest, yeah. I remember that attraction, and it must have taken them 5 minutes to knock it together. It was pretty basic.
Well, that makes sense then, that it opened a month after the film came out.
Yeah. Having said that, now that we've evolved and we've become technologically more sophisticated...
Mm.
To knock that same show up, but it would probably take Disney about 40 years now.
That is true. You can't deny that. That itself replaced an attraction called Magic Journeys, which in itself was a 3D film.
Paul Daniels.
So it's interesting, I think, that it went from a 3D theatre to a Lion King puppet show, as you called it, back to a 3D, well, or 4D film when Philomagic opened. But, yeah. It recently got updated.
Dude.
2021. Although it says here on Wikipedia, and I mean, I don't know how reliable Wikipedia is as a source, it says that Disney California Adventure and Disneyland Paris were updated in 2021 with the scene from Coco.
Yeah,
I've seen it. So have I seen that in Paris?
You have seen Philomagic in Paris. I know you have because you told me.
you just wouldn't remember it was.
Well, I mean, it's the same film, isn't it? Does it matter where you see it? But yeah, so that's interesting. But yes, there was a recent update with an additional scene. Tokyo Disneyland got it last year. Oh no, it says Magic Kingdom received their one in fall of 2021. So you didn't see it in America, you did see it in Paris, Craig, judging by those dates. But yeah, how do we feel about PhilharMagic as an attraction?
Spot on. I like it. I think it's really good.
I think it's a bit lazy.
I must do.
Ooh. So we've got two people that really like it and one that says it's a bit lazy. P-dubs, why is it a bit lazy?
It's another one of those things that they haven't really needed to put a lot of effort into.
Mm.
They've kind of just edited some scenes that they already had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just... It doesn't take a lot of work, does it? Honestly. And it's why it sat there for 20 years with not a lot done to it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a good Fantasyland attraction. It's a people eater. It's the film itself is a kind of greatest hits. So it's, you know, it's a crowd pleaser. And the sort of smell-o-vision, 4D effects are good. You've got some of the interactive stuff in the theatre.
Mm. It's got a great finale. It's got a great finale. Yeah. And I agree with you on the things like the scent. And to be honest, that's why I hate it so much in Disneyland Paris, is because it's a bodged... I mean, Jesus, Peter, you talk about lazy. I mean, that being put in the Captain EO theatre with the Captain EO logo still burned into the screen is about as lazy as it gets. You know, there's no...
Yep.
Hardly any of the 4D effects work. The screen itself is old. The projectors are old. And there's no finale. You know, it's as lazy as it comes. I'm quite a fan of it, but... So I don't feel anywhere near as bad as P-Dubs does, but I'm probably in the middle of used to. Like, I like it, and I think it's good, but I also think it's very dated.
Hmm.
Whilst you're right about it's a greatest hits, it's a greatest hits for almost another generation now.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's a sort of Disney decade, isn't it? You know, it's Lion King, it's Aladdin, it's Beauty and the Beast. It's a celebration of that Disney decade. And okay, they've added a new scene in, which kind of pollutes it a little bit, but they've sort of, that's a half-arse, that's the lazy bit, really. It's kind of half-arse effort to bring it up to date. They could easily have, I better shut up. I'm going to spill my beans.
Well, that's, oh dear. Craig's on the podcast. Didn't leap on it.
So you're right. It is dated. It's still. Mm. I think it's still quite good. But yeah, it's of a time.
Yeah, I think ignore the Disneyland Paris version of it. I mean, we're talking about the Disney World version anyway. But you know that is piss poor. The other ones all have certain charms about them. But our job isn't to try and convince you that it's a good attraction. It's how we would enhance the attraction. That's the whole purpose of this. So, because I'm eager now to hear, and almost, Mr. D almost spilled his beans.
Mr. D and his banana and beans.
I'd say it's an episode title, but we don't really have a video. So, Mr. D, I'm going to come to you first and ask what you would do if you was in charge.
Yeah, so I mean, I do like the attraction. It is right in Fantasyland. I mean, it couldn't be more in Fantasyland. It's right in the core of the original Fantasyland. So, right by the back of the castle, right by, you know, the carousel. I think it needs to be maintained as a Fantasyland attraction. So that was my first thought. It's not actually, I looked at it on Google Maps, it's not actually a massive footprint, so you don't really have a lot of room to work with. So I had a couple of ideas. My first idea was the beans that I didn't spill, which is the idea of PhilharMagic is pretty good, and it's interesting. I think they kind of missed an opportunity, because You know, when they ripped up the Great Movie Ride, there was this whole thing about, you know, Mickey is like the icon, but he doesn't really feature anywhere. He hasn't got his own attraction. But although he slightly features in PhilharMagic, it's Mickey's PhilharMagic. It's really Donald that's the star of the show. Mickey just comes in at the end.
Yep.
So I definitely think there's a missed opportunity. So it could well be, you know, I so given that the footprint is limited, so you've got to be a little bit realistic there. I think they could gut the whole thing and but recreate another 4D greatest hits type movie with more of an interactive theater, so more physical effects in the theater, and maybe like more effects in the seats as well. So rather than just the smells, you could actually have almost like the old 4DX used to get in Cineworld, where the seats actually move slightly in time to the music and the movie. But bringing it up to date, I mean, there's quite a lot of good, popular, quite successful Disney movies that don't really feature much in the parks, you know, and more recent ones. So, you know, things like Big Hero 6, things like Encanto, even you can bring in some of the Pixars like Soul and things like that. So, but again, remembering, you know, that Mickey is maybe lacking in the park, so Mickey could be the kind of character that goes through these different scenes and meets the different characters from the different movies. But it is a more modern greatest hits, but with more up to date special effects. You've still got the smell-o-vision, moving seats, physical effects in the theater, because some of that's quite clever, and some of the stuff in Muppet Vision is quite clever as well, where at the end the theater's been partially destroyed, you know, it transforms. So definitely, you know, there's some opportunities there, and maybe even for some high-end animatronics, a bit like you've got in, you know, the Frozen attraction in Epcot, where they project the faces on and they talk and things like that. So that was my thought, is keep it as a Fantasyland attraction, have Mickey more prominent in it, but bring it up to date and make it a more modern greatest hits type of thing with, you know, Encanto, etc.
Okay. So, what? I know you mentioned like Big Hero 6 as well. So, do you think like you would look at another Disney decade or
Yeah,
just?
but much more recent, much more kind of contemporary, you know. So, and I mean, I know that Disney are obsessed by, you know, that there's a lot of good films that maybe weren't the biggest box office hits, but they were still reasonably successful, and they're pretty popular, in say the last 15, 20 years. So, you know, there are quite a few. I mean, Brave, apart from character meet and greet, doesn't really feature anywhere in the parks, but pretty good film. I mean, I know that's a Pixar one, so you'd need to decide whether it's Pixar, Disney, or a bit of both. But there are some pretty good films there, that Wreck-It Ralph and things like that, that don't really feature much. I mean, Moana is starting to feature, so I don't really think you need Moana. You've got Frozen there. But you know, there are still quite a few others that Disney could pull in.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with Disney, with regards to stuff like this, is that they leave it so long for them to make decisions. You know, Frozen really was the only time in recent memory where they've kind of had their finger on the pulse and got an attraction done relatively, you know, within the time frame of its relevancy. And I
It's
think
true.
that was more to do with just the longevity of Frozen
Yeah,
more than
just
anything
how
else.
massively popular it was.
And I mean also they obviously thought there was going to be spin-offs or sequels, so they knew that it was kind of future-proofed as well, but they moved pretty quick on Frozen. So but yeah, I know what you mean. You know, what we had announced, we had a Wreck-It Ralph you know, Epcot thing that never happened. There was rumours of Wreck-It Ralph going into Tomorrowland.
That's and right. Now, Stitches was.
Yeah, and now who, like, Wreck-It Ralph is irrelevant again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The time's gone.
Yeah, you got Zootropolis, you know, that's another one that you know, hasn't really appeared. So I've seen from Zootropolis, which was a popular movie. Like I say, you've got Encanto, you've got things like, you know, Turning Red and Inside Out and things like that. I mean, they were popular films in the day, not as massive as Frozen, but, you know, people still recognise them and like them.
Yeah.
Raya, The Last Dragon, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. No, there's plenty they could choose from. That's for sure. P-dubs.
Yes. So after calling fellow Magic lazy, I'm going to follow suit. I'm going to remove any sign of fellow Magic, and Craig's going to love me for this, but I'm going to bring in Mickey and the Magician.
Oh.
Because it still carries on that same kind of feel as fellow Magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mickey appearing in other films. And it's a real, I feel like it's an eclectic mix of like the last 30 years of Disney, that show, because you've got Frozen, you've got it, and it goes even further back. But when you concentrate on the major scenes, Frozen, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and then obviously you've got Cinderella thrown in there, but it kind of feels like a, what shouldn't be, but a natural successor to PhilharMagic.
Yeah, and I would say that, I wouldn't say it's saying that the parks lack necessarily, because they do obviously have stuff, but there's not a lot of stage shows.
No.
Is there? There's Frozen Sing Along. There's.
What was the one with the Martin Short? What was that called?
The
one in Paris.
Cinemagique.
That was really good. Yeah.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, Mickey the Magician is genuinely phenomenal. Just because I was sitting next to Nick, I'm not going to tell him it was phenomenal.
I think you feel that way, Craig, as well, is because you can only see it with me, you can't see it with your family, because it's always closed when you go to family.
It's always closed in February, yeah. But it's a cracking piece of work, and Florida would benefit from it, definitely. But they could bring Cinemagique over as well, or instead of. Because that was fucking phenomenal.
Like. I mean, it was superb, but I would argue that is exactly, and actually a surprise really, why that attraction never made it to Hollywood Studios.
Hmm.
That's where that should have been.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you could bring it up to date. You could redo it. Mm-hmm. You'd have to redo it, wouldn't you, I think, really?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously that opened in 2002.
What? If they brought in Mickey and the Magician, because it's a real Mickey, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how does that fly with the multiple Mickey situation?
What do you mean, the multiverse?
Yeah.
Well, you've got a Mickey meet and greet at the front of the...
Ah, but that's just magic.
Because they don't tend to have multiple Mickeys in...
Can't see both of them at the same time... Then you're fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because didn't they used to shut the meet and greet while the parade was on, or is that a myth?
Oh.
Well, no, because if you're in the meet and greet, you can't see the parade, so...
Yeah, but the issue you've got is that the parade doesn't actually go past the meet and greet. Yeah. So there's a chance they may well have done.
I think the Mickey that's inside at the meet and greet, just as the parade goes past, saying, hang on, I'm just going to pop outside for a minute. I know. That's it. It's magic.
Packs off.
Going for a fag break. You get to go to the parade.
Yeah, I'm just going to nick it for a quick tab. I'll be back.
Beep, 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 beep. Reverses.
I love Mr. D using the word tab as if this is like a 1950s noir. Love it.
Isn't it?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, yes.
Should be.
You know, I don't know about the listeners.
This episode is a black and white episode, just for the listeners, just so you know.
Yes.
It's been shot in black and white.
We thought we'd do something special.
We're all just sitting in the dark, really.
We're all naked with bananas in our asses.
Why are we all going to be always naked? No, we're in 1930s outfits, a bit like, what do you call it? The Warren Beach film.
70 bushes. Dick Tracy. 70s bushes.
I'm definitely wearing a bright yellow Mac.
Yeah,
for sure.
Except it's light grey because it's a black and white. It's a black and white podcast, so there is no yellow.
No. Yeah, you're right. I'm mistaken, but I've gone a bit abstract, a little bit, right? Because I've done something I've never done before. So,
change your underpants?
No, I do that. I turn them inside out and then throw them away. So I have decided Philomagic is going to become an elemental adventure, right? So this is a film which hasn't even come out yet, but I think you could make a really cool 4D movie prequel/sequel using water and fire effects as your kind of 4D element. And I think it's, you know, it looks like it's going to be the first big Disney hit for quite a while. So I think get in there quick. Don't wait for it to be a hit. Just go and do it. If it doesn't work, you know, if it's not a big hit that I think it could be, you can always switch it back to Mickey and Mickey's Philomagic later on. But, you know, I think this is the problem. You know, if Disney thought this far ahead about things, they would get attractions relevant to film successes much quicker, and a 4D theatre and putting a 4D film on is much quicker for them to turn around than building a roller coaster or something. So you could do it with that, and also you could then decide to change it up every 5 or 10 years. You know, the next big film that's coming out, do the same thing. You know, just repurpose the theatre and put a new film in there, and then you've got technically a brand new attraction. And another reason why I've gone for this over, you know, it keeping it the same or keeping it something Mickey and Minnie is the fact that they do now have an attraction. All right, it's in the next park, but, you know, the one thing that Philomagic always kind of had going for it is the fact that it was seen, as you said, Mr. D, a Mickey Mouse attraction, but really it was a Donald Duck attraction. But it was the only attraction that really featured any of the Fab Five. So now they have got an attraction that they are all in, then I think you can kind of make an argument as to why not. So I hope that I'm not going to eat crow pie and Elemental is a big hit in the summer, but
never even heard of it.
You've not even seen a trailer for it.
No, I need to go and find it now.
Trailers. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, it looks good. I actually saw another trailer for it when I saw Super Mario the other week. And I mean, the fact that that film, not to go off on a proper tangent, but the fact that that film is about to cross $1 billion globally this week, and the fact that that trailer is probably going to be in front of a lot of those performances of Super Mario, I think is another reason why it's going to be a big hit. You know, a lot of people now would have seen that trailer that might have otherwise not seen it.
So, well, then Disney have to change tack there then and keep it off Disney Plus.
I think it's going to be an interesting year for Disney in that regard and what they do with their film releases, because I think the problem they've had for the last few years is that, and look, most people in this podcast have been guilty of it. Like, how many films did you not go and see the Disney release because you knew they were going to be on Disney Plus relatively quickly?
Save it for Christmas Day release.
Yeah, exactly. Like the good old days.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
So that's mine, an elemental adventure. And that just leaves you, Greg, I think.
So, fill our magic. I'm changing it to fill our bellies. a fill our magic tribute dining experience.
Oh.
So it is multiple rooms, consisting of a Beauty and the Beast room, so that's problematic. I didn't think of that. A Fantasia room, a Little Mermaid room, a Lion King room, a Coco room, a Peter Pan room, and an Aladdin room. And in each room, they have got food specifically tailored to that film. So, whatever. Peter Pan, fish
raw,
and chips.
Raw meat in The Lion King.
Yeah, zebra. Zebra shit in The Lion King, or just zebra, yeah. All that type of stuff.
Mermaid, fish and chips.
Fish and chips for Little Mermaid, yeah. But in each room, so there's a big screen in each room showing that portion of PhilharMagic. There's a character meet and greet. It's quick service, it's not sit down. So basically you quick service, the character's there, all the, you can go in and you can pick where you want to eat, basically. The character's there for meet and greet, then you go and order your food, and then it's so you can go from room to room if you want. It's revolve, it's not revolving, but do you know what I mean? It's not a sit down meal, so you can go and have your starter in Peter Pan, then you can go and have your main course in Fantasia. You can have pink elephants, a pink elephant burger, and then you can go to Beauty and the Beast and have the grey stuff. But it's specifically, you can only meet and greet on the way out, so there's a bit of a queue, but it's a fast turnover, and that's what I've basically come up with, because I don't think there's enough. I think the time of meeting, of standing outside meet and greets, I hate them. I think the fucking shit. I prefer an organised, paid for, whether it's a fast pass, whether it's a sit down meal or whatever. I prefer that experience because you know you're going to get to meet the character. The one where I got this idea from was the Snow White character dying and experience in Fort Wilderness, is it?
Okay.
Now, that is a sit-down meal, but it's a set menu.
Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness Lodge, sorry, yeah. But you can go and meet the Queen. You get up off your chair and you go and meet the... And, you know, so that's
what does the Queen sound like, Craig?
I am not amused. Like that. That's the ghost screen. She's
thank
dead.
You. Thank you very much. That's what I wanted. That's interesting. That's very left field. I like it. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it'd work, but I'm intrigued.
It would be gutted. It'd be gutted, and it'd be just a series of rooms. Obviously, they'd all share one kitchen like they do in Disney and various bits of parks, you know, multiple dining, but each one would have a tailored menu. It would be you know, you would literally be inside Beauty and the Beast, a portion of, but it would be tailored to what you see on the screen of PhilharMagic. So Aladdin, all that type of stuff. And then there would be a screen honoring that portion of the film in each dining experience. And then as you're walking out, Donald Duck's ass would be sticking out. You could have a chew on it if you want.
You could, really, his ass could be above the restroom doors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you could have duck.
Oh, that's awful. Fully on board until that. Okay, so to recap on that, we have got Mr. D who wants to make it more modern and have improved seats like 4DX. We've got P-Dubs, who wants to bring Mickey and the Magician to the American parks. You've got my idea, which is Elemental Adventure, and Craig's Fill Our Beddies, a PhilharMagic dining experience. Obviously, don't vote for me. Not here next week. No, but the poll will be up a day after this episode drops, and you will be able to vote for your best option, of which I now have to go to the previous results, because we was a little bit behind because of when we recorded and everything last time. So if we go back to March, we had but everyone can't remember now. We had Mission Spaced. I think that was actually our February. Oh, that was right. Yeah, it was the February episode. We recorded at the beginning of March because of time delays and stuff. So we had Mission Space, and for that we had Mr. D's New Horizons, Craig's Ant-Man Quantum Realm attraction, P-Dubs with a Mission Space NASA overlay, and I had a Wally Dark Ride, and I can confirm that P-Dubs won.
Okay, now.
I was second, and you guys were joint third place. No one was last.
Are the fucking Patreons morons?
That was February. In March, we had the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular, which I have to write down, otherwise I'm going to get it wrong. And I didn't write down on this one whose ideas are whose, but I think you'll be able to guess when I read out that one of them was a Die Hard stunt show.
Okay.
One of those was an Indiana Jones e-ticket style attraction like we've got in Disneyland, and the other was another kind of behind the scenes show. And with an overwhelming majority, the Indiana Jones e-ticket attraction was the winner.
Fucking hell. It's Die Hard, for God's sake.
Who doesn't want a Die Hard stunt show? Well, obviously,
the Patreons. Yeah,
quite clearly. The people have spoken.
That's it. And actually on that, Joseph Scala, Craig, I think, referenced our American listener Joe riding a horse. And he says that he can confirm, although he's an American Joe, he does not ride a horse.
Oh, yeah, because I said horse.
Oh, right, okay. That sums it up.
Yeah, he doesn't ride one of those either.
No, I don't think he will do, no. So that was your last two winners. And now you've got another month to choose yet another. So thank you for listening to our Disney Enhance of Hearts episode for April. And I look forward to being crowned a winner next month with my excellent idea. I'll be honest, I think Craig might win for a change.
Yeah.
I think it's an out there concept. I think it might win.
Mickey's fill your belly.
Yeah. It's crazy enough to work. That's what I'm saying. So yes, thank you. Well, Patreons, thank you for all your support and everything you continue to do. And whilst I may not be here next month to do this,
Nick will be here.
I am. Yeah, I'll record a victory speech just in case I win. But I'm assuming, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouths or anything, but I'm assuming that this format's going to continue at least for now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, who doesn't love this show? I actually, arguably, this is my favourite show. So hopefully it's yours. So carry on supporting the podcast.
I mean, you could literally leave the podcast network now, couldn't you, and just bring out a new podcast called Enhance the Parks.
I mean, I could do, but I mean, I don't think I would be that petty.
I'd kill you. We'd have to come down and shoot the bloody
back
of your head.
You do know where I live, so you could actually get away with doing that. So,
yeah. Yes. I'm also expecting this Disney Parks podcast.
I mean, I don't want to speculate about what I'm doing next, but all I can say is I've been very busy at the trademark office this weekend. That's all I'm saying. but thank you. And yes, please vote. And can't wait to see what the winners are in May. So, until May, everyone, will see you later. Except me. Does no one want to say anything? No. It's just...
Fuck off.
Trying to just time it right.
It's what we do.
It's all about the timing.